WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, October 26, 2016. We are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. On today's show, we will recap what took place last night when it comes to the World Series Game 1. That's right. How about the Cleveland Indians playing a near-flawless game to get the upper hand to at least start this fantastic series against the Chicago Cubs? We'll chat about that. Also, we will finally dive into the comments of a former Michigan basketball player by the name of Trey Burke. Now, Trey Burke, in the NBA right now, hasn't had the best outing since he's been in the league. He was a part of a, I guess you'd say, like a panel discussion when it comes to the treatment of overall college athletes. And he had some interesting comments concerning the Michigan basketball program. So we will talk about what exactly Mr. Burke had to say. And he is now retracting those statements, saying that his comments were taken out of context. I don't know about that one. Also, folks, USA Today has come out with a list ranking the highest paid college football coaches in America. And I don't think there's really any surprise who comes out at number one. Well, it may be a surprise to a few of you out there once you hear the number that I'm going to throw out to you all right? So you don't want to miss that. We will also continue our previews of the Mid-Michigan high school football playoff action scene as we will invite live to our studios Dan Bogan, Lansing Sexton head football coach. Sexton will take on Williamston this weekend to start things off. All right, so Dan will join us live in studio. You don't want to miss that interview. If you want to be a part of today's action, simply pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this thing. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with the Detroit Red Wings, who have now won, get this, five straight. That's right, the Wings took down the Hurricanes 4-2 last night to win their fifth straight and move to 4-0 at home this year, 5-2 overall. Dylan Larkin came into his bobblehead night without a goal on the year, but celebrated the night scoring his first two goals of the season. Thomas Vinek and Andreas Antonisiou both found the score sheet, and Peter Mrazek stopped 29 for the Wings. The Wings can look to make it six straight wins when they travel to St. Louis on Thursday.
Out here.
He passed to Larkin. He's in the clear. Dylan Larkin scores! And across the line. Nyquist still with it. Down low. Larkin looks back in front. Scores! 3-0.
Yes, the Red Wings sizzling hot right now. Now moving on to some news concerning the Honolulu Blue. Former Detroit Lions second-round pick Kyle Van Noy is on his way to Foxborough, along with the Lions' 2017 seventh-round pick in exchange for the sixth-round pick of the New England Patriots. Now, Van Noy has started all seven games for the Lions this year, but has underperformed since the Lions moved up to take him. The Lions re-signed linebacker Josh Bynes to take Van Noy's spot on the 53-man roster. All right, folks, the red, white, and royal blue. That's right, the Detroit Pistons start their year tonight when they face off in Toronto against the Raptors. Tip time set for 7:30 p.m. The Pistons will have to find a way to generate some offense without Reggie Jackson, who is out with a knee injury. They will look to Andre Drummond and Marcus Morris to make big plays, as well as Beno Udrich, who Detroit claimed off waivers on Monday after releasing former U of D star Ray McCollum. Udrich, yeah, from the Miami Heat. All right, so if you look at tonight, after tonight's game, the Pistons will then play their home opener on Friday against the Orlando Magic. Again, tip time set in Toronto for 7:30 p.m. Pistons versus Raptors. All right, Washington Wizards and former U of M point guard Trey Burke has been under fire recently for comments he made while speaking as part of a Knight Commission panel on Monday. Burke criticized U of M for serving, quote, jail food, as well as leaving him, quote, unprepared for NBA life. But last night, Burke spoke with U of M basketball head coach John Beilein and told him that the quotes were totally taken out of context and he didn't mean to be so critical. Now, according to MLive.com, Beilein says Burke feels bad about this. He feels it was really taken out of context as far as how it was reported. If you look at the whole thing, instead of picking a few things out, that was not, as he told me, what he meant to be saying. But I guess it came out that way. Again, that is direct comments coming from head coach John Beilein. We will dive into Burke's comments later on in the show. Don't go anywhere. Jim Harbaugh has now surpassed Nick Saban as college football's highest paid coach. Harbaugh is set to make over $9 million this year, his salary taking a big jump from last year when he was making just, $7 million. The pay increase is due to a life insurance loan Harbaugh agreed to make back in August. In that contract restructuring, Harbaugh makes $5 million as a base salary and then an additional $4 million as a loan against a premium on an life insurance policy taken out by the university. Now, Harbaugh then receives an additional $2 million for each of the next 5 years as a part of the loan. That is a lot of money, folks. We'll have more on that story in just a second as well. Former Indiana basketball player Todd Jadlow talked about a few different instances of abuse he received from then-coach Bob Knight at Indiana back in 1989. Now, Jadlow co-wrote his personal memoir, On the Rebound, recounting his time at Indiana as part of their 1987 championship team as well as his other time there. Jadlow said, quote, I didn't go into it to demean Coach Knight or to put him down. I was just telling stories when I was at IU. It's not like I had a vendetta. I still have a lot of respect for him and look at him as a father figure. I didn't do this to tarnish him. I went through my own struggles, but these things happened at Indiana. I will let people who read this book and consider if it is abuse or torment by today's standards. If things went on today like they did, then you would be in jail, end quote. Knight has declined to comment on the situation. The Indians' Corey Kluber made his mark early, striking out 8 Cubs through the first 3 innings last night, setting a World Series record. In the bottom of the first, the Indians scored twice, never looked back. They went on to win 6-0 last night. Indians catcher Roberto Perez provided the rest of the offense with 4 RBIs on the night, coming off his 2 homers in the 4th and 8th innings. The Cubs will look to get even in the series on Wednesday night when they send out Jake Arrieta to match Trevor Bauer of the Indians, who look to double the series advantage.
Struck him out. World Series history. Corey Kluber, the first to strike out 8 through 3 innings. Perez made it 3-0 when he lashed that solo homer just over the 19-foot wall and left back.
All right, last but not least, folks, Flint native 21-year-old Olympic boxing gold medalist Clarissa Shields is set to make her pro debut, get this, on November 19th. That's right, next month. Shields took gold in the middleweight division in both the 2012 London Olympics and the 2016 Rio Olympics. Shields says, quote, I am thrilled to take the next big step in my career, fighting professionally and leading the rise of women's boxing worldwide. Now, Shields will face off in a 4-round middleweight bout. Her opponent has yet to be named. Congratulations to Clarissa. So that does mean that when it comes to the Tokyo Olympics 4 years from now, she won't be able to compete because she is now a certified pro. Wishing Clarissa Shields luck, without a doubt. All right. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, phone lines are open. 517-355 WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. So much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show. What's up, good people? Welcome to this Wednesday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I am thrilled to have you be a part of today's show. You've got a good one, folks. A good one in store. I mentioned how we have Dan Bogan joining me in studio during our second segment. He will be our guest for today's show. Of course, Coach Bogan is the head football coach at Lansing Sexton High School. Really excited to pick his brain on the start of high school football here in the state of Michigan. Dan Bogan, you know, this is a team in Lansing Sexton that finished the year 6-3. They were able to get that final win to solidify a spot in the playoffs over lowly Lansing Eastern. Really feel for Lansing Eastern. I mean, that's a team. That's a local team that just hasn't been good for a while now. They didn't win a game this year. They didn't win a game last year. The year prior to that, they had one win. Going back to 2013, they didn't win a game. I mean, they haven't won a game dating back to October 10th, 2014, folks. It's a long time. A long, long time. And actually, Lansing Sexton is the only Lansing-based area team that booked the ticket to the playoffs. So I'm curious to get Dan's thoughts on just really what is going on when it comes to Lansing football. Congratulations to his squad, though. They will actually take on Williamston this weekend to open up the playoffs. So Dan will join me live in studio. Curious to pick his brain on that and so much more. You know, last night was a fun night of sports, though, folks. It really was. You know, I plopped down on the couch and watched game one of the World Series. You heard Corey Kluber, his fantastic outing. I mean, the man was just in a complete zone last night. Complete zone. The Cubs did not have a chance with Kluber pitching like that. Really impressive stuff. So the Indians take game one. Kluber struck out 8 Cubs through the first 3 innings last night. That's a World Series record, folks. World Series record. 6-0. But we still have a ton of baseball left to play. All right. Game two will take place tonight. Jake Arrieta will match Trevor Bauer. That's going to be a fun pitching matchup as well tonight. And, you know, I was flipping back and forth because last night also marked the start of NBA basketball. How about that, right? That's right, the NBA is back. I love the association. I get NBA League Pass every single year. And, man, was Cleveland, you know, that part of the world was lit last night, folks. I mean, it had to be pretty fun because not only did you see the Indians take game one of the World Series, but right down the street, you had the Cleveland Cavaliers open up the year with a dub over the New York Knicks. And right before that game took place, you had the ring ceremony. The banner was raised from last year's NBA championship team. Really cool watching LeBron get another ring and celebrate with his teammates. You saw fans in the stands in Cleveland hugging each other and saw a few even shedding tears. And right down the street, you got the World Series going on. It's got to be really good right now to be a Cleveland area sports fan, with the exception of the Cleveland Browns, all right? But that's a whole other story. But you got your Cubs. Well, excuse me, you got your Indians and you got the Cavaliers. I think that's pretty good, if you ask me. So that was fun to watch, and game two of that NBA slate was a bit surprising for me, I must say. The Golden State Warriors at home inviting the San Antonio Spurs to Oracle Arena, and the Spurs just making it look like slight work against a team, the team that met the Cleveland Cavaliers in last year's NBA Finals. Kevin Durant, you know, I have a certain emotion when I think about him suiting up for the team that beat him and eliminated him from last year's NBA playoffs. I've already let that be known. It was a cop-out move. He's chasing rings right now. I feel like every NBA great is chasing rings right now. And now, more so than ever, when we evaluate legacies of an NBA baller, now more than ever do we put emphasis on the NBA championship ring. So anyway, KD, he's out there in Golden State. You know, it's a classic example of if you can't beat him, you might as well join him. Well, again, you play an entire 82-game season, so let's not jump off the cliff here. But to start off the year with a blowout loss to the Spurs, that stings a bit. That stings a bit. Actually, Kevin Durant said it was a, quote, slap in the face, end quote. And I can make many jokes about that with him going to Golden State, right? I think it was a slap in the face with him going to the team that beat him in last year's playoffs. It was slap in the face to many NBA fans across the world, but it's another rant for another day. But that was surprising, though. A blowout win for the Spurs over the Golden State Warriors, the super team and the Warriors. Pump the brakes. It's going to take some time for the Warriors to gel, okay? Heck, even LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, when they linked up out in Miami, they didn't win a championship in their very first year, okay? They are going to be growing pains. You aren't going to click automatically. But don't sleep. Don't sleep on the San Antonio Spurs, folks. That is a very talented team. Kawhi Leonard, absolutely fantastic. LaMarcus Aldridge, even though he's 31 years old, and many would argue that he's past his prime, he can still ball out. He's a stretch big man. He can even hit the three, folks. We saw LaMarcus Aldridge hitting the three last night. That was very impressive. Then you look at the bench. Patty Mills came off the bench. It gave him a big spark. He was great. I mean, just all-around fantastic effort. And, you look at Greg Popovich. I mean, do we expect anything less than Greg Popovich? From Greg Popovich, I should say. Best basketball coach in the game right now. Simply put, folks, the best in the game. Love Pop. He knows what he's doing. Even with the absence of the great future NBA Hall of Famer Tim Duncan. So watch out for the Spurs, but the Warriors will be just fine, okay? They will be just fine, folks. All right, moving on. I wanted to get to this yesterday, during yesterday's show, but I didn't get a chance to. We had a loaded show, and of course we had Terry Hesbrook on our airwaves, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team, and we discussed their move now, moving up a division, moving on up. Still a line from the Jeffersons, right? Moving on up to play a tougher division. You know, this is the defending Division VI state champs from last year, and we dove into whether or not he likes that move. It was just a jam-packed show, but we didn't get the chance to dive into the comments from former U of M men's basketball Trey Burke. Yeah, Trey Burke, a player who I covered, got a chance to cover when he was in college. Well, I got a chance to interview countless times, and just a really good young man. really good player as well. It was fun covering Trey Burke when he was balling out for Coach Beilein. And of course, they went all the way to the big dance on the national championship stage, in which they would fall to, of course, Louisville. But I remember that run very vividly because that was when I had become a professional sports reporter at WLNS TV6. And we were following U of M's run to that stage. And I remember watching Trey Burke, and sometimes my jaw would be on the floor about what this young kid can do. So we all know the old adage, right? I mean, when you talk about professional sports, everybody's good. Everybody is talented. It's a different ball game. And you really get to see just how good you are against the creme de la creme of talent in the world, in the National Basketball Association. Trey Burke just, he hasn't really panned out in the league. And now, this upcoming season, he will be playing backup to Washington's very own point guard, John Wall, in Wizards land. So the reason why Burke is in the news, though, is because of comments that he had when in relation to his time at U of M as a student athlete. And Burke decided to sound off, and he made comments at the Knight Commission panel on Monday criticizing the University of Michigan for serving what he described as jail food. I don't even know how he would make that comparison. I don't think Burke has ever been behind bars, but he described it as jail food. As and he went on to also say that he believes U of M left him unprepared for NBA life. Now, there's a follow-up to those comments, because when head men's basketball coach John Beilein, when he read this report, John actually decided to shoot his former player a call because it left him a bit uneasy. So John Beilein, he called Burke. Burke didn't pick up at first. He left him a voicemail. Then Burke called him back. And during that conversation, Beilein says that Burke, quote, feels bad about this. Beilein went on to say, quote, he felt he was really taken out of context as far as how it was reported. If you look at the whole thing, instead of picking a few things out, that was not as he told me what he meant to be saying. But I guess it came out that way. Now, there were a few things that I took away from this story. First off, the first question I had was how in the world were the comments taken out of context? I mean, it was pretty clear. When you read these quotes, you know, he describes U of M's food as jail food, and he says that U of M left him, quote, unprepared for NBA life. I don't know what other context you can draw from reading those comments. Unprepared for NBA life? I mean, how could you construe anything else to be other than what Burke alluded it to be? I don't know. I just think him saying, you know, that they were taken out of context is a way for him to get out this hot water that he is feeling right now, as he's been criticized from everybody who is a U of M basketball fan or anybody who reads these comments, to be real with you. Because in my opinion, folks, it sounds like Burke is bitter. Bitter Burke. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that his NBA career hasn't really panned out the way he would have liked it to this far. You know, he's an okay player. You know, when Burke came out, when you evaluate his college career, I really thought he was going to be a guy who maybe after, you know, in the middle of his first year would get it, and he was going to really ball out. And he's had a few games where we've seen shades of him being a great player. We've seen shades of what he was able to do at U of M donning the maize and blue. But he hasn't been able to consistently churn out great production. And it just simply hasn't shown in his game. You know, going back to when he was first at Utah. And anytime, and everybody's built differently, but anytime you don't have the type of career that you expect it to when you make that leap, that early leap, mind you, that early leap from college to pros in any sport you play, you sit back and have to ponder, why am I not successful? Why was I so successful in college? And now that I make the NBA, I mean, what's going on here? You want to find out what is that why? And this is not the way to do it. You know, Burke is saying that U of M left him unprepared for NBA life. To an extent, I can see where he's trying to go. But Burke, if you would have stayed in college, dude, I think you could have been more prepared for that leap. And I do think the NBA, and I've always been a big, you know, I've always criticized professional forums like the National Basketball Association, as well as the NFL, for not doing more for respective rookies out there who are not used to, again, making this, you know, all of a sudden you go from not making any money in college to making boatloads, those who are fortunate to, making boatloads in professional sports. And it's a fast lane life. You're playing a lot more games. There's a lot more pressure on you. It becomes now a business. I can see how that can just cause your emotions to be everywhere. I understand that. But at a certain point, you have to settle in. And I believe that Burke has had enough time to settle in. I don't know if his focus is there, to be honest with you. So, you know, is this a fair complaint that is echoed by other Michigan basketball players and athletes, and even those in college basketball who are not Michigan players? That's the big question here. You know, if you hear other players saying that, yeah, oh my gosh, U of M, they serve jail food, and no, they don't leave us prepared enough when we make that leap, then okay, maybe there's some validity to what he's saying though right now. But right now, it just sounds like Burke is just spewing off, and he sounds bitter about it. Michigan guard Derek Walton actually weighed in on this, and this is what he had to say. Quote, personally, I think the food is great. When I talk to him, Trey is a great guy and an even better player. I don't have a problem with what he said. That's the right you have as an American. Personally, though, I have nothing but positive things to say about the university, the dorms, and the food. Obviously, some people feel differently. End quote. So I don't see any other player coming out and backing up what Burke is saying right now. I read the Detroit Free Press this morning, and they actually have a quote. This is coming from an article written by Chris Nelson, excuse me, of the Detroit Free Press, and he actually got a quote from a Michigan basketball fan. They had sort of like a selfie picture event at U of M men's basketball practice this week, and he got a quote from Michigan basketball fan Derek Carr. Carr says this, quote, college food is nasty, and I believe college players should get paid. The staff and everybody else is getting paid, but the players are the ones doing all the work. When I grew up in the 1990s, players were getting in trouble for taking money from boosters and things like that. If players would have been getting paid, we would have our banners up from the Fab Five. Everyone else is getting paid, so the athletes should get paid as well, end quote. So, you know, this is, and he also goes in to say this, quote, he should have said something while he was here instead of leaving, in reference to Burke's comments, getting his money and then criticizing the food. But he's still a big name here on campus. When he speaks, it reaches a broad range of people. You know, this whole notion, you see how this went. This went from comments, you know, about the food from Trey Burke and how he's not prepared for the next level, him really criticizing the program. This went from that to a quote from a fan bringing up whether or not college athletes should be paid. You know, this whole conversation about whether college athletes should be paid, this is always, and I do mean always, folks, going to be at the root of the conversation when you assess a student athlete complaining about anything at a big institution. It's always going to be there. It's really hard to ignore it. I don't know if it directly relates to the point that Trey Burke is trying to make here. I really don't think it does at all. So I think that kind of, you know, this basketball fan, Derek Carr, was kind of just spewing off here. But at the same time, you know, to go back to Burke's comments, and to answer the question, do I think college athletes should be paid? I was one of the ones who at the very beginning of this conversation said that no, they already got the education paid for. But when you look at and evaluate the amount of money that college sports brings in, to not get some of that pie is ludicrous to me. So I've definitely changed my stance over the years. But going back to what Trey Burke had to say, I just think that he sounds bitter. I want to bring in Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, before we hit the first break here. What was your reaction to Burke's comments, Isaac, and do they have any validity?
Well, my initial reaction was yes, the Michigan cafeteria service could be better. I've been unfortunate enough to go over there for different romantic gal events several different times and eaten at the cafeterias, and they're only open at like 9 a.m. on the weekends,
hold on, pause.
10 a.m.
Hold on, you said romantic, first off.
Gal events.
I love these big names that Isaac always
says. I had to throw
romantic gal events. So are you telling me that you've actually been on dates?
I have been to U of M cafeterias.
You've
not
been
dates
on dates
in the cafeterias.
You said romantic gal events. So does that
yes.
mean a date?
Yes, but not in the cafeteria. Not, of course. I mean, the cafeteria was later on in the process, but yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. So what is a gal event?
It's a wander or a trip somewhere, pretty
okay.
much.
Oh, so, you okay. It's not a date then. Okay.
Yes.
I thought it was. It sounded like a date when you said
well,
that. Okay.
It is a sort of date, but it was like a follow-up to a date. Anyway, though, the food, my point is, the food at U of M is just not that great. I no offense. But no, the real point of this conversation
let's be real. Yeah.
is that Trey Burke's complaining about service given to athletes, which isn't the first time that this has come across the national spectrum in terms of sports news. I remember Shabazz Napier 2 years ago saying that sometimes he went to sleep hungry, even in college at UConn, mm-hmm. thus criticizing their system for not adequately providing for student athletes. And you're right, this does in some ways tie back to whether student athletes should be paid. But bitter Burke is a great name for him. Because the thing is, Trey Burke, he shouldn't be complaining about the system. This is somebody who made the choice actively to go out into the pros after a freshman year, which was spectacular. He had every single right to leave. But when you leave because you think you're prepared to handle the next step.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you leave. You've got 3 more years to prepare yourself if you say whatsoever, hey, maybe I'm not a good enough cook to cook something better than U of M's cafeterias. Hey, maybe I'm not mature enough to handle this money. Whatever it is, you've got 3 years to tune yourself into the perfect medium of what you want to be as an adult in the NBA, handling everything by yourself. And to your point about NBA, PAs, and other professional athlete associations not properly equipping these athletes with the knowledge that they need to handle their money, I agree to an extent, but at the same time, they do have different classes, different mentors, different financial advisors, and some athletes. Actually, there was, I believe, a story about a Detroit Lions player today in ESPN about how he handled his money with a 70-30 split, and it's set him up with millions for the rest of his life. There are resources available to these players so that they can properly harness all of that revenue that they make. The thing is, I bet a lot of players, just like in school, you got a lot of students, just don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Don't take advantage. And it would not surprise me with these comments if it was Trey Burke who was doing that. And also, I'm with you. Don't blame the journalist who reported this story. Are you kidding me? Taken out of context. When you compare cafeteria food to jail food, that's on you. That's not on the journalist. Maybe you misspeak and you can correct that later. But that is on you. That's not on the person who wrote the story.
These are very black and white comments that Burke had to say here.
I mean,
and again, you, when you read it, I don't know how you can perceive it to be any other way than what he stated it to be. You know, I take it out of context. That was just a means for him to try and find a way out of this whole conversation. And going back to Burke, I think that this is a young man who has made over $7 million throughout his young NBA career thus far. This is a contract year for him, so he's going to try and ball out and try to be a great complement as a backup point guard to the great John Wall. So he's going to try to have a great season here. And I would ask, though, when you read Burke's comments and he says that U of M left him unprepared for NBA life, what does he mean by that? Does he mean for life on the court
or off of it. I didn't understand what he meant by those comments. So in that regard, maybe a few people can draw a few things that can be taken out of context, because we would need more clarity as to what he means. But at the same time, to blame U of M, a program that historically has prepared its athletes to make that jump to the NBA or to the NFL pretty well. I mean, we've seen many great athletes come out and have immense success. I mean, I don't want to go through the names here, but I mean, a lot of athletes have come through that program and had immense success. And John Beilein is heralded for being one of the best coaches in college basketball. He's noted for being a man who always makes sure that his players are prepared for whatever leap they take, not only in the game of basketball, but in the game of life as well. So, I don't know. I think we're grasping at straws here. And I think that when you look at the whole conversation when it comes to college athletes being paid, that directly makes a great transition into our next topic that we'll get to later on in the show when it comes to Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if you guys saw his report, but according to USA Today, Jim Harbaugh is the highest paid college football coach in the nation. Yeah, cha-ching, right? A little over $9 million this year alone. And guess how much student athletes get out of that $9 million? Zero. A big donut, right? So we'll give you the full list. We'll also show you where Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, where he falls in on that list later on in the hour. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we hope to have live in our studios the head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team. Our dear friend Dan Bogan will join me here on Current Sports. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Isaac, I know you got a chance to check out some opening night basketball. What impressed you last night?
Well, I was flipping between opening night and, of course, opening night of the World Series as well. But, you know, I can't keep my eyes off basketball, and I couldn't keep my eyes off of Jonathan Simmons for the Spurs last night. I don't know if you know his story, Al, but this is a guy who paid $100 to try out for the Austin Spurs, the D-League affiliate of San Antonio. Fast forward 2 years, and he had a block that was reminiscent of the LeBron James chase down in Game 7 of the Finals. He was 6 of 6 in the first half, including a buzzer-beating three. And isn't it just so, Greg Popovich, that the guy who they signed, who nobody knows about, goes in and is going to become an NBA star, possibly? So, I tell Greg Popovich.
That's Greg Pop. He is a genius, isn't he? And I watched Jonathan Simmons. And actually, as the clock winded down, I believe it was him who had that monster cram. Did you see that dunk?
On JaVale McGee.
Dude, I was watching it in real time. And I'm like, all right, I'm half asleep. It's almost, you know, like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm watching this game. And it's a blowout. So I'm doing other things. I'm on my laptop as well, kind of prepping today's show. And all of a sudden, as the clock winds down, he goes to his left and just kind of takes off on McGee and just goes up and crams it right in his face. And you see the reaction from the Spurs bench, and they absolutely lose their mind. And I saw it, and it was kind of a subtle reaction from Marv Albert and Reggie Miller. And I'm like, whoa, did that really just happen? And I went back on the DVR, and I saw it in real time, and I paused it when he got to the peak of that dunk, and I said, this kid is amazing. He is amazing. He's going to be a fantastic player.
Oh, yeah, he sure is. And the other thing that I noticed last night, already we've had two of the most amazing plays you'll see in this NBA season. The other was the LeBron James behind-the-back post pass from the three-point line right at the elbow extended mark. And LeBron James, I've got to say, over his career, he has progressed and evolved into a top-10 passer in the history of the NBA. I don't even think that's bold.
Oh, you can argue top five. I mean, yeah. He's been that good. I think when he first entered the league, I mean, he was really acclaimed for his court vision. So going to be a fun year, and we'll give a brief preview of the Detroit Pistons season as they begin their regular season year tonight on the road in Toronto at 7:30 p.m. But in the meantime, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He has just walked in our WKAR Current Sports studios. He is the head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team. And Sexton, which finished the regular season at 6-3, will meet against Williamston. Back in the playoffs after a year absence, will meet in a Division IV opener. Dan joins us live in studio, looking pretty funky fresh right now with the shirt and tie and suit on. Dan, how you doing, my man?
Hey, good. How you doing, Al?
Always good to see you. Now, first off, Dan, after a year absence of not making the playoffs last season, this has to feel pretty good for you.
Oh, absolutely. I think anytime you make it to the playoffs after you going through a rough blue schedule like ours, it definitely feels good to get back into postseason.
Now, before we talk about what took place this year to put you guys in this position, I want to go back to last season, Dan. What accounted for the drop-off last year, and how did you go about putting the wheels back on the track as you embarked on this season?
Well, you know, it was no secret. We were really young last year, and that had a part to play in it. And, you know, our kids, I think we started maybe 10 sophomores, and the rest were juniors. I think we only had maybe 3 or 4 seniors starting last year. So to have that happen, you know, it'd be tough to make it back. Even though we were really close, we lost, I think, 4 or 5 games by 1 or 2 points and two others by less than a touchdown. So, you know, I think we were really close and we felt that. So I did, and as well as the coaching staff and players, we felt we could have a great shot at getting back in the playoffs this year.
And you guys certainly have done that. And going into last week's game against Lansing Eastern, mm-hmm. You sat at 5 wins, right, Dan?
Right.
Even if you didn't get the win over Lansing Eastern, I think you guys were a heavy favorite mm-hmm. last Friday night. But even if, let's say you didn't get that win over Lansing Eastern, do you still think you would have had a shot at making the postseason at a 5-4 record?
I think due to the teams that we had played and had lost to, I think we had a really good shot. We lost to a great Granville team who has found its way to win about and dominantly against everybody. I think I was looking at it a few days ago. I think we scored the most points against Granville, which was 14. And that's saying a lot.
yeah.
Saying that they play teams like Hudsonville, who only scored 6 and who's 8-1 team themselves. And, you know, so there's some good teams that didn't do well against Granville. And Grand Ledge, who's an outstanding team, and won our conference. And East Lansing, who tied with us for 2nd place. So those are the 3 teams we lost to. So 3 quality football teams.
For sure. And I saw via the television this past weekend, you guys held your watch party on Sunday night, watching Fox Sports Detroit and the pairings, of course, at Buffalo Wild Wings, right?
Correct.
Did you like the drawing that you guys received as you guys sat back there and saw your name pop up on the screen?
Well, I think anytime you can play at home, you got to love that. That's always a plus. But, you know, you get to the playoffs, everybody's going to be tough. Everybody's going to give maximum effort. So you don't take anybody for granted, and Williamson is a good football team. And I consider everybody that makes it to the playoffs a good football team.
Certainly. They are always good every single year, both of your programs, really. Now, I wanted to dive into this really briefly here before we preview that matchup against Williamson this weekend, Dan. You know, when I sat back and started to evaluate our local Mid-Michigan teams, 21 teams who have now booked a ticket to the playoffs this weekend, you guys are really carrying the flag for the Lansing-based area high schools to enter the playoffs. I mean, you mentioned schools like Everett, who had a down year this year. You look at Lansing Eastern, who's been struggling for quite some time now. Do you really feel like you are carrying the flag for this area going into the playoffs?
Absolutely. You know, we represent the Lansing School District and the other 2 high schools. as well as our school. And we're proud to do that. And we've always felt that way if we're the only team in the playoffs. And, you know, Everett has done the same thing when they were, I think, the only team in the playoffs. I think it was 2012 or 13.
Mm-hmm. Now, when looking at Everett and Eastern, mm-hmm. Eastern, which has struggled for quite some time now, mm-hmm. Dan, what accounts for a drop-off like that for a Lansing area schools? What are you seeing that isn't being produced at a school like Lansing Eastern?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you got to get everybody out that can play. I think they have some athletes in their building that aren't coming out due to the success that they've had. And I think if they can get those kids out to play, you know, they have a chance, along with, your off-season program has to benefit your football team also. So you got to have a strong off-season program. But yet you do have to get the athletes that you need out, and they have some at that school. You got to get them out there.
Why aren't they coming out, do you think?
Well, again, kids, they don't want to associate themselves with losing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they figure, I don't want to be associated with Eastern because they're not winning. So, they have to be the ones that want to change that. And I'm sure Coach Matlock is trying to get those young people out. I know he's working on it. And he's going to get it done. He'll get it done there. He's a good guy. He cares about the kids. And hopefully those young people will give him a chance.
Certainly. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team. If you have a question for Dan, we encourage you all to call in as well to be a part of our airwaves, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Now, let's go into this preview now. You guys sit at 6-3. You look at a Williamson team back in the playoffs after a year absence, just like your program, at 5 wins. How are you preparing for this upcoming matchup, Dan?
They run a very high-powered offense. They score a lot of points, and we have to be prepared to stop that with their zone read. And they had run some options, some dive options, some veer. They have some excellent athletes out there, and it's going to be an exciting game. I know they're going to come to play, and we have to be prepared for a tough opponent.
From the very start of this season, Dan, when you guys started off the year beating Detroit Renaissance to, of course, how it culminated last week against Lansing Eastern, in what areas have you seen your team grow? What's been encouraging?
Well, I thought that we've paid really close attention to detail as of late, and I think our kids have really focused on that, the little things in practice as well as in games. And, they've also grown closer, which I think really helps a football team. We had some bickering amongst the troops earlier in the season, and you saw them grow closer as we got closer to making our goal. And they understood that, you know, if we're separate, we're not going to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
But together, we could be a powerful group.
You talk about the bickering. What kind of bickering was happening? And how do you as a coach sort of, I guess you can say, put those emotions in check?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, each team you get each year, the dynamic is different. And, so you have, totally different mentalities within your players and some of your senior leaders and your senior leaders who have been around for the really good times, the 2013 and 14 seasons. They it's tough for them to accept mm-hmm. Anybody not giving everything. So, we had to help them understand that, we got to bring them in and bring them in the right way of motivating them, not in a negative way of motivating him, yelling and screaming at him and degrading him. So, you know, those are the things that we really encourage as a coaching staff or our seniors to uplift those players who weren't as fortunate as they were to play on teams that lost two games in 2 years. So, and out of 27 games. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, those young men, they figured that out, that they needed to bring each other together instead of building up walls between each other.
Dan, who are some of those leaders? Can you name a few of them, and who has really been instrumental as far as playmaking abilities for your team?
Well, our leaders, our senior leaders are Jalen Faulkner. I would say Kari Foy Walton is another senior leader, Jackson Escobar, DeCarlo Manuel. And we have some junior leaders as Cody Blankenberg, who's really been an outstanding leader on the field and off. But those, you know, and our playmakers, and I'm always encouraging our kids to be playmakers, as well as those of you who think you're playmakers to step up and be playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them the more we have, the better we are. And but you know, Kari Foy has been unbelievable playmaker, as well as Cody Blankenberg, and I always consider my offensive line playmakers. So. They make it all possible.
Certainly. Before we're running out of time now, Dan, before we get you out of here, just talk about the advantage. What is the advantage of playing at home, especially in the opening round of the playoffs, to get that momentum, possibly moving on as the year moves on, deeper into the postseason? But what's the advantage of playing at home?
Well, I mean, the atmosphere for your kids to be where they are normally at. This is something they're comfortable with, and it's familiar territory. And usually that's something that plays in your favor as an opponent. And you want to defend your home. So that's always a big part.
I mentioned this, Dan, yesterday to Terry Hesbrook, who was on our show, head coach at Ithaca High School. And, you know, when you sit back and evaluate this high school football year, it is completely flown by. I can't believe we're already talking about the postseason, right?
Goodness.
And some schools play, you know, one or two games before students are even taking classes. Mm-hmm. Does that need to change?
You know, I think it's a good place. I think it doesn't put as much pressure on the kids maybe to get acclimated to just the football process. Not having classes for those first two games. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for our student athletes to be able to get into that playing regimen before school actually starts.
Love that. All right, so it's Wednesday right now. You still got one day of preparation before you get on the field on Friday. Mm-hmm. What are the troops work on today?
Wednesday is a defensive day, so our focus is on defense. We try to do special teams every day, but our focus on Wednesday is defense.
Okay. All right. Well, Dan, on behalf of us all here at Current Sports, we are wishing you great luck this postseason as it begins on Friday night, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in action, all right?
Thank you. Thank you, Al.
The one, the only, Dan Bogan, one of the best football coaches in the area, folks. Again, Sexton will take on Williamston Friday night. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's Current Sports by giving you a bit of a preview of the Detroit Pistons' year as they open up the year against the Toronto Raptors on the road, and the Detroit Red Wings, winners of five straight. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKER's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up chatting with Dan Bogan, head coach of the Lansing Sexton High School football team. If you missed that interview, you guys know that all you have to do is simply hit your laptop or smartphone or whatever device you have, and simply visit WKAR.org to check out the Current Sports Podcast. We post each and every Current Sports radio show after it's finished around about 3 p.m. each and every day. So if you missed that interview, you can simply visit WKAR.org later on this afternoon. Folks, the Detroit Pistons will open up their season tonight at 7:30 p.m. on the road against the Toronto Raptors. A few notes that I want to bring to the table before we wrap up today's show. Andre Drummond, folks. I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, if Andre Drummond can really raise his game more so than he already has. I mean, just how good can Andre Drummond be? He made his first appearance in the All-Star game last year. He was third team All-NBA last year. NBA Player of the Week twice, helped the Pistons to their best year in 8 seasons. He also set career highs in his point and rebounding numbers, also recording 5 games where he eclipsed 20 points and 20 rebounds in 1 game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Andre can do, also if he has improved in his horrid free throw percentage. And, hey, the Pistons don't have starting point guard Reggie Jackson, who begins this year injured. So the Pistons got free agency started by inking point guard Ish Smith to a 3-year, $18 million year, which I think is a bit too much for Ish Smith. But 3 years, $18 million spread across those three years. The Pistons also signed for John Luehr to a 4-year, $42 million contract, and center Boban Marjanovic to a 3-year, $21 million deal. I'm curious to see, Isaac, if all those three players can live up to those contracts.
Well, and I thought Ish Smith was actually quite a good deal in comparison to all of the other outrageous, ludicrous signings this summer. Tyler Johnson, what was it, 4 years, $50 million? So I liked Ish Smith a lot, also seeing him in New Orleans. He's a good little ball player who can really spread the floor with his passing. Not a great shooter, but he'll work his butt off for you. And Pistons fans quickly will grow to love him. What I want to see is how much Andre Drummond is on the court this year. With the rule change in the NBA, which has now barred the hack-a-shack strategy,
right?
Andre Drummond, I think he's more dominant than ever. I'm predicting all NBA second team, and I'm predicting another good playoff berth for the Pistons. They had a great offseason.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at Drummond's free throw percentage. I mean, he was 35.5% last year, the worst in NBA history. And also, you know, one of the weaknesses for the Pistons is three-point shooting. The best shooter on the roster, probably KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He hasn't been able to find anything resembling a consistent stroke. In fact, the Pistons don't have a single player on the roster that shoots the long ball at a clip that's above 40%. In today's NBA, that's a problem. So, nonetheless, Pistons get underway tonight at 7:30 p.m. on the road. Well, we unfortunately are out of time, ladies and gents, but we'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks so much to Dan Bogan for joining us on today's airwaves. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.